Welcome to episode 25 of the Sign Radio Show. The scene is dead, and somehow new people are still joining us. So, how do newcomers experience the scene? We have a chat with Tobak, who joined the scene fairly recently, already made a name for himself in quite a few compos, and just went to his first demo party.
All right. So, another episode, another podcast. I'm Aki.
I'm Axel. Hello.
Welcome to the Design Podcast, episode 25. We're at 25, and our topic of the day is the scene is dead, or is it? And unfortunately, Ziphoid couldn't join us. There's a lot of things that have happened. We are trying to keep up with you people, but yeah, we have life happening as well. So
actually, the main reason is just that we waited for your release to see the light of day, so we could talk about it.
We immediately go into it. So I've been bullied.
We can talk about it.
Yes, I mean, a lot of has happened. Evoke happened. It was my first demo party in 3 years, and my last demo party was Evoke 2019. So it was also kind of weird to have like go back to that last party, but then now very good.
What was
party.
It like?
Yeah, you weren't activities. You weren't there. So that
no, I wasn't, and I will not be for quite some time. But
we'll see.
But what was it like to see everyone again?
It was great. Let's keep this like brief. But I would say it was great to be back at an actual demo party. I think this was the like no disrespect to other demo parties that have happened. It's great that there have been so many in-person demo parties, but Evoke like an institution demo party, and it was for a lot of people it was their first demo party since the pandemic, and you could feel that energy of like people were ready for a demo party. It was a really good vibe. People were really feeding off like seeing each other again, having entries. It was fantastic competitions. I mean, it was jam-packed. Every competition was absolutely, if you haven't seen the Evoke releases, and it's the same for other parties, like Nova happened as well, and all the other parties, like great entries. People really brought their A game, were ready to party again in real life. And it was great. I felt really, at home again. And it was a fantastic experience talking to people, seeing so many people in the same place that you haven't seen in so long. Overwhelming as well. But and Gasman did a performance, and I think that was what everybody needed. It was just that, you know, have you ever seen Gasman live? You must have.
I know Gasman, but I haven't seen him live.
I always call it the Gasman factor. It's something that he has that everything is just extra fantastic. And he did his gig where he sings and plays guitar and does ZX Spectrum covers and songs. And it was just outside of Evoke, and the crowd was just so feeding on it. And it was just this like big cloud of like, we needed this. Bah! It was really good. And I made my first demo, which I finished at the party with some help.
With help for what?
Well, cables. I started too late. I will give a big shout out to Daria, who really pulled me through it. Cables is awesome and fantastic, but trying to whip up a demo in like 4 days is... I released my demo. It's called Smorp. Did you see it?
I actually, that's why we recorded a little later, right? Because I had to watch it.
We're gonna cut this out.
I cannot have it not seen before we start talking.
So what is your first impression of my demo?
It was a lovely flashback to the music side of the 90s or whatever that was, early or like, actually late 80s probably, yeah. But I felt back to the Soundtracker days. And then I was wondering it was a flying pizza, I thought first, but then it wasn't probably.
It was clowns.
And you probably don't know either.
I know. People ask me, like, is it good or bad? I have no idea what it is. It's just something I made. I don't know. There is no coherency. There's businessmen trapped in prisms, rotating in front of vaporwave backgrounds. There's clowns. I don't know why exactly. I started with a different idea and a different soundtrack that was way more experimental. So I think that's where the clowns came from. That might actually happen, because design will stay, and I will make more demos, and please hound me to make more. Because it was really fun. I will say, like, cables is great. All these online like tools are like, if you want to make a demo, go check out all these tools. Tool, cables, Nin or Renin from the wonderful Ninja Dev people we spoke to, but there's so many of these online creation tools. And even I, a programmer that like learned how to program in the 90s and forgot everything, actually wrapped my head around this, and it's so much fun.
Looking back, what was the biggest challenge for you?
Everything. I got a lot of help
getting making it
a demo, mostly because the cables is like it's made to be also a visualizer and like real-time web development program, and making it a demo is actually quite, so I had some help with that as well, because that's actually a big step and they know. But I know I get angry at it as well, like, you should, things didn't want to work, and then getting it explained by somebody who is very good with cables, I realized like, oh, this is something that I should have known 2 days ago, and then I wouldn't have like tore my hair out of my head. But that was fun. It was fun to show a demo on the big screen, and I can recommend it. And if you watch my demo, it's absolute like, no, it's not garbage, but it's like, it's weird, and like, it doesn't matter. You can just make something, because that's the fun thing. You have to like subject everybody at the demo group, and they have to watch it, and you couldn't walk away. Well, they could, but they didn't. And I was very happy.
But challenge okay for the next compo.
Yeah, fantastic entries as well. I want to shout out to so many good like demos. Of course, one of the bigger things that came out was the XT demo from Hornet and CRTC. They did another IBM PC 8088 XT demo, which was, they brought their old XT hardware as well, like old PCs, and that was a fantastic demo. Attention Horror made a great Teletext demo. There was fantastic entries in the graphics compo, and the music compos were really strong. So yeah, no, it was great to live it again in real life.
Yeah.
I'm happy it's possible again. And not many, we heard about few people that were like, oh, I tested positive for Corona, but there was also, people were kind of like stand down-ish, but in a good way. They had the sticker system of like, red sticker is like, don't come too close, and green stickers, give me a hug.
Okay.
Then the yellow sticker, yeah, like red is like, don't, and yellow was like, ask me first, and green was like, give me a hug. And most people, I saw a lot of people, not most, but a lot of people had like yellow and green kind of mixed. And I had it as well. I was like, I am kind of needy, but I'm also kind of concerned.
So it depends on the person.
Let's chat first. But it really went well. And everybody, I felt like people were probably also after like 3 years of pandemic, people were kind of chill. And I didn't mind. It was a good vibe. It's absolutely. So yeah, looking forward to go to more parties. So
have you heard from anything else like Assembly or the other parties that were?
I already heard Assembly, that it was some great stuff from Assembly as well, and I heard about Boozdrome happened, which is also very cool. We did, and that was in real life for the first time in 2 years, I think. But yeah, we have another. We're going to talk later in this episode about the scene, because as we said, the scene is dead. Well, as I just said, it doesn't look very dead to me.
Actually, no. Just when watching those 2 months of parties now, I was thinking, oh my God, so many releases. And I had to skip back like 3 pages, 4 pages on Poet. Like, what the hell is going on here with the releases?
There have been some parties. I think, we had Nova happen. We had Xenium happen. There was like all these like Edison happen. It was old school parties. Like there was so much releases and so many great demos came out. Very it was absolutely... stuff. Astounding the quality, like even Xenium happened last weekend in Poland. Matt Wizards released a fantastic PC demo. People are clearly ready to jam out. So the scene is dead, as they say. Is it though? Because I don't think it is. What do you think, Axel?
I think judging from the conversations that we had here on this podcast over the last few months, it seems like we have more and more people that I didn't know in the past, or that have just come in recently, or that are doing new productions. And judging from what I see happening here at the parties, there's a lot going on. And you know, even with design releasing stuff now, and there's more
such a new school group. Yeah, we're going to have a great interview coming up. We're talking to Tobach. From Slipstream, who is a young demo scener, basically started getting active just before the pandemic. And then the pandemic happened, so did a lot of stuff online, and went to his first demo party, went to Nova, and his first proper demo experience. So that's going to be a good conversation, a fun conversation, perspective for somebody quite new, because yeah, unlike what people think, there's actually quite some people still finding the demo scene and still bumping into it and releasing something.
Actually, with you mentioning Evoke, that just a couple of new releases. Have you spoken to anyone at the party of those new people releasing new stuff?
Or? Unfortunately, I didn't. The weekend went so fast as well. Like, people were like, there were also, I think, way more profound conversations happening because people had clearly missed it. So you spend a longer time talking to somebody. So I unfortunately didn't talk. There were some great newbie releases coming out. But I didn't manage to talk to any of them. I spoke to some, there were some people that I really realized later, like, are you ready, folk? I didn't even see you. Like, okay. I only, Luguber was there and I only really briefly talked to him. Like, it went so fast.
Wasn't he beating you up for any noises that he was, that we were making on the podcast?
Surprisingly calm. Five of you folk. So, but yeah, no, I made a demo. I'm going to make more demos and we're going to make all the demos together. I think we should. I think if you listen to this podcast and you haven't made a demo, make a demo. It's a thing you can do. I'm not going to say it's easy because it isn't, but it's also not super hard. Take that as you will.
Particularly considering you had great graphics in there, so it took you some time there.
So. Well, yes, I was always for hours, weeks, months. but yeah, so newcomers and new blood and the scene is dead. And people are saying like, what's happening? And like back in the day and more people influx. We have some numbers, actually some poet numbers, which is maybe not like the demo scene actual numbers, but it's like poet accounts being created. And it is interesting that it like there is a big influx of accounts in the beginning of the 2000s. And it stabilizes, but it's less at the end. But there's still like a consistent number of people registering accounts.
Maybe we have to bring out some of the numbers. That it started in the early 2000s at 200 or so accounts, and rose up to 2000 until the year 2002 or so. Yeah. And then it saw a sharp decline, going down to 2006 or so, and then rose again up. But I think the most notable thing is that after 2013, it saw a rapid decline. But since then, since 2014, 15 probably, yeah, it was pretty much a stable number of, what was it? I don't see it probably here. About
200 accounts.
About 200 accounts. Being made newly, and I think that is and going up actually recently in the surprisingly in 2020.
But it was more because it was also like a big spike in 2014, and then there was better spam prevention put in, so then making accounts was a little bit harder. But yeah, we see this big rise in the 2000s when Puet started and the whole demo scene kind of registered. But it's actually quite stable now at like good like 800 accounts. And then it's also about like from, it's like half of the people that make an account end up commenting. So there's also a lot of people that make accounts and don't seem to be active. They might just be watching demos, reading BBS or whatever. Don't do that.
But I think that's understandable.
Yeah.
I think that's understandable that you just, you know, watch stuff, that you observe things and not really actively comment things. Yeah. I think, I mean, this percentage would be a lot smaller on YouTube than... And it would be
absolutely, and I think it's also like indeed, like you don't have to comment, you can make an account, you don't have to do anything. Like, don't worry if you're listening to this and you're scared to sign up at Poet, because what will the people say? They won't say anything, just go read and post and do whatever you want. Don't be a dick though, but that's like kind of common knowledge. But yeah, so there is this kind of influx, there's always new accounts being made, and I see quite stable numbers. That means that people are still interested. And as we just said about Evoke, had 6 newbie releases. Because they always do the newcomer award as well. And so that's actually quite a lot. And I think, every time we have this discussion, it's always like, oh, there's not, maybe everybody sticks around or keeps producing stuff, but there was always new people.
What do you think led to it or was leading to it? I mean, we were discussing that streamed parties were reaching different audiences, or Shaded Toy reaching out to different audiences as well.
I think it's a combination. Like, you have all these people active on the internet, and they reach a bigger Like it's indeed like stream parties reached a bigger group of people than the regular demo crowd. Same for Shaded Toy, as we talked to IQ about in the previous episode. And I think also like content streams, like we have quite some demo sceners that are also basically Twitch streamers, like Floppy and Ferris and Andro and Big Stewart. They will do like a stream to talk about tech, to talk about things, and attract a group of people that might not necessarily know about the demo scene and might find it. I once brought a coworker to Revision. And he didn't realize he had been watching Ferris's videos and didn't realize Ferris was a demo scener. And okay. Saw him at Revision, but like, holy shit, I know that guy. I watch his streams. So there is definitely this overlap of like people talking technical stuff. And I think that's really important as well.
Did he resign afterwards?
No. He's still very happily employed. Like, again, like my company has a big demo scene history. So he kind of came along to see what it was about. Don't think he's going to go to many more demo parties, but he found it very interesting. But that was also, like, he knew about Ferris and he knew about the tech because it was kind of an overlapping interest of, like, somebody doing streams about old computers. So I think that absolutely brings in people. And if you're going to talk to Tobak, he also kind of, like, fell into that kind of, like, side of, like, people active online and then going, like, what is this all then? Where does this all come from?
Yeah.
And
Let's find out.
Yeah, let's maybe we should. Maybe enough of the old man talking about the demo scene. Let's have some young people talk about the demo scene. So let's talk to somebody half our age. See what they think. All right, topic of the month we're going to talk about this month is the scene is dead, or is the scene dead? Everybody always says it since 1993, but there are also new people joining the demo scene, and maybe it's more than you think. So today we're going to talk about a new demo scener. We're very happy that they're joining us today. It's Tobak of Slipstream from the UK, a coder, musician, and a graphician, became a staple in the tech 80 scene over the last few years, joined the demo scene in 2018, which is only a mere 4 years ago. Wanted to go to demo parties and then COVID happened. So only recently went to his first demo party. Imagine that, all demo seniors, that you want to go to a party you can't because of a pandemic. So and also was nominated for a new Talent Meteoric in 2022. So already made quite an impression on the demo scene. Welcome, Tobak.
Yes, hello. Thanks for having me.
No, we're delighted to talk to new demo sceners because that's always the question. New people, where do they come from? How do they join? How do they find the demo scene and everything? So we're going to ask you a lot of questions about your journey so far, even if it's only brief. There's enough to talk about.
So yeah, whenever one new demo scene comes along, we need to ask them. So
it did change over the years. So yeah, it's the first question is, because for us it's like, how did you get to the scene? How did you discover the demo scene?
Yeah. So I think about, when was it, 5 years ago or something, I started having an obsession with like old school computers, like the Beeb and Commodore and whatever. And I was playing around with them for a while, and then people were like, oh, have you seen these things people are doing? And I'm like, no. And someone sent me the 88 miles an hour IBM demo. And they were like, have a look at that. And I was like, I need this. I need to, you know. And then I just started just watching parties when they were streamed. And I was like, oh, I really need to go to one. And then COVID happened, and I was like, well, never mind.
But a lot of online parties.
Yes.
And where's your interest coming from the old platforms that you mentioned?
I don't know really. It's just a challenging aspect of it. The old school, because it's very limited platforms, isn't it? So.
Right.
Yeah, it's that kind of stuff. It just interested me.
But the question is then indeed, I don't know if you want to answer it, but how old are you as a new scener?
I was going to ask the thing.
Because then we know kind of where to put you on the scale.
20 years of age.
20 years of age. You were born in the
2000s. 2002. Yep.
So those computers are absolutely, they were ancient to us, some of them, when we started. So they're absolutely like Jurassic to you.
Vintage.
Is that something because, Jurassic. Yeah, literally, because I imagine you grew up with all computers around, or was it something that you...
Well, the family computer was Windows XP, so so not that's not really
quite a step.
But I did have my mum's old Game Boy until like 2010. So if that counts, but
that makes me again. We're gonna have this. I'm gonna get it out of the way that me and Axel we're gonna have an existential crisis during this. Just talking about your mom's old Game Boy, and I look to the left, I see my Game Boy from 1989. And I'm like, you know what? We're not gonna even address that. We're just gonna move on. So interest to old computers, and then somebody sent you, because that's also a very specific demo to send. So who sent you? Yeah. Well, you don't have to go into details, but is it people that knew about the demo scene? Were they demo sceners, or?
I don't know. I think it was just a friend that just randomly showed me it, because it must have appeared, because I think it won Revision, I can't remember which year.
Yeah, it won the Worlds.
But then it was being talked about quite a bit, I think, and then someone must have gone, oh, you like old computers, have a look at this.
Yeah, that makes sense. There's actually now a topical, they made a new one for Evoke.
They so did, I saw it. It was absolutely incredible.
Mind-boggling, but yeah.
And I'm so jealous that a few of the other UK scene folk went to it, and I didn't. But
it's Trickster brought, like, he had three XTs with him, and they were like monstrous and fantastic and lovely, and it was great to see.
Yeah.
I don't know if he brought them with the team there, he was with VSCV as well. It was great to see. So okay, old computers, so you found the demo scene. So then COVID, so you did some online parties, you got some, yeah, some friends.
I think the first party I submitted something to was a remote entry to Syntax 2021. So this was like not even a year ago now, or something like that. And it was I think it was just like a cheap tickety scroller thing with like the Australian flag and just a little thing, but they seemed to like it and they got first in Wild. So I was like, oh, that's good. But that was...
That's a start.
Yeah.
And then, motivational.
Yeah. And they started submitting more to online and then got into tickety more because I really wanted to start off doing old school, but it was assembly and I was like, I'm not prepared to get shoved into the deep end. And then someone was like, oh, you should have a look at tickety. There are a few things for it. So I was like, okay. And it was surprisingly quite easy to pick it up because it's literally like line command, four coordinates, color, done. You have a line instead of however many lines it is for old school. But then, yeah, I got started on that properly. Yeah.
There's so many people in your life that give you good advice. That's like, it's like,
yeah,
fantastic. Brilliant. Yeah.
We need to talk to these people so we can recruit more people. Yeah. Anyway, what's your background? Is it programming in the first place? Or how did you originally get interested in these platforms? Was it the technical programming part or other like nostalgic, I don't know, part? I don't know, it cannot be nostalgia, but the whole retro gaming thing was is going on. So is it more from the gaming point of view or?
Not really. It's more from just like the limited hardware perspective, because on PC you have like what 3 gigahertz, however much RAM and whatever, and on old school it's like, oh yes, you have about as much as you can store a text document and like a CPU that may as well be hand cranked, but yeah.
No, it's fair. And were you making stuff before you discovered the demo scene? Were you already creating things?
I made a couple of things. I think my, like my first prod, like on demos or something, I was fiddling around with a C library for, I think, the NES, and made the world's deadest meme, Nyan Cat, but on the thing. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. And then did absolutely nothing for about 3 months after that. Until Syntax. And then, yeah, started just submitting more to online parties.
And was it because of the demo scene vibe as well? Was it more challenging for, oh, I'll participate? Or was it just a fun thing to do during the pandemic as well?
Yeah, it was just a fun thing to do because, I mean, I didn't really have much else to do at the time. And I was like, oh, I could just do this. You know, may as well.
It could be worse. Like, I mean, it was we saw an insurgence of people making stuff for the demo scene because everybody was stuck at home. So fair enough.
Yeah.
So when you got the advice, you went to the platforms, or how did you find out what platforms to use or what streams to use, or how did you inform yourself about the demo scene?
Well, I was mostly just checking up on just Poet and Demozoo after some people were like, oh, the database for all the demos and stuff are over here. And then it was on Demozoo, it has the list at the top of which current parties are. So I just like stalk their websites and go, oh, remote entries? Oh, no, okay. And then go to the next one. And then watch the streams and things. But yeah.
Again, all these people that are like really pointing you towards the right. That's very good to hear that these people are like, oh, no, you start here and there. Because how did that feel that did you, when you came into the demo scene, it's been around for like decades, like before you were born, And how did you feel? Like, was it like, did it feel welcoming or did it feel weird? Like, were all these old people that are yelling about Amigas the whole time?
Yeah, kind of, because I started, because after that thing, I started posting, like, because I was well interested in the BBC Micro. So I started doing, like, music covers of things on that, and I got talking to Kieran of Bitshifters, and he was like, oh, this is great. They're like, you're so young and you're doing this for the BBC. It's like, oh, and then I think he basically indoctrinated me kind of into the scene and was like, oh, here's the UK scene. Here's all these people. And I was like, oh, cool.
It's a good scene. It's a good scene good to be welcomed, yes, to be fair. Yes, like, it's a group of really great people to be welcomed in.
Yeah. And then the Field Effects folks definitely added to that, because that was the first proper party, well, online party that I submitted multiple things to. And I was like, oh, I should make something for that. So I sat down with Tick 80 and I was like, oh, what if I made a sheep go to space? Wouldn't that be funny? And then just kept adding to it. And then it came first. I was like, okay. I was surprised it did so well. I think I also submitted a music thing and a BBC Micro, like, little really dodgy looking scroller or something. But it seemed to do well. So that was pretty good.
And is this something you start creating something just for fun, or do you have an idea you like?
Yeah, it's mostly just for fun. It's like, oh, wouldn't this be fun if I could do this, or if this did this? And
how much time did you spend?
That was mainly just
on your initial productions. Is there something that you can elaborate on, or how much time you spent on learning and actually releasing something?
Releasing something, oh, it's terrible. With the Tick 80 Spaceman thing for the Field Effects Christmas party, I literally, I was like, okay, I'm going to whack out this entire thing in about 2 weeks. So I was up until, I don't know, 5 o'clock in the morning, just adding like two scenes every night and thinking of the next one. I was adding the current one. No plan whatsoever, but it worked. So I was quite surprised with that in the end.
That was like the plan of everyone else in the scene.
Yeah.
And it seems to gel, that you gel with the demo scenes vibe, I guess, that it makes sense that you people like what you make. Like, did you feel like it clicked? Like, if you were like,
yeah, kind of. I don't know, because I don't know really.
What changed once you released something? Did anything particular change? Did you feel like it's more acceptance? Like, or I don't know.
Yeah, it was probably like, oh, people are actually liking this stuff. I'm like, what? I was like, why would you want to watch this?
We like people to make stuff. Like, if you make something, it's great. And then if it gels with the demo scene, then you're in. Like, and I think that's it, also, if you don't make things, it's also fine, but make things more fun, basically. That's before people get angry.
Yes. Yeah.
So you do all the things. You make music, you do graphics, you do code.
Yeah.
It's
until, until I found like a demo group to be in, it was pretty much all just a one man band. Like, I did all the code, graphics, not great at, but code and music was fine. But
it was a thing in the past that people would like have not many people around that would be demo sceners and would just do everything themselves. And then you find a group and then what am I good at? Is there something you like, particularly as you said, the graphics not as good at, but you do them as a thing? You're like, oh, I really like doing this. And then,
mostly just playing around with code, because multiple times I've like played around, like make an effect or something, and I've gone, oh, I didn't know I could do that. And then I've like made it into a proper scene for it. And it's like, oh, that's kind of cool. Yeah, it's mostly just experimenting.
That's great. It's just great. You can do everything yourself as well. Like, if you're comfortable with that.
Do you have a special background in technical aspect? I mean, what are you studying or doing anything else in that area? Or
yeah, kind of. I was in community college or something the past couple of years doing. I did like an IT course and then did a music course. And then because the pandemic happened and then college was off, so it was like, oh, okay then. So I was at home for like a year or two, and then that's when scene activity started proper going.
That's like a perfect combination of circumstances.
Perfect, air quotes. Like, great. Like,
ignore the whole pandemic thing.
So much time. But speaking of, like, I like the questions of like the background, indeed, of like you were interested in technical things. I think you were interested in old computers, so it was something. Were you surprised to find something like the demo scene or somewhere? Like, you bump into this, like, what the hell? As everybody was saying, it's pretty niche, like, in the end.
Yeah, because I started watching, because there's these channels on YouTube that just upload boatloads of C64 demos from, like, stuff. And I was looking at this and I was like, oh my goodness. I was like, what is this? I started showing to my friends. I was like, have you guys seen this? Like,
Why are people still doing this?
Yeah, why are people still doing this? It's, and I was like, this is like my new favorite thing now. I have to do something for this.
Well, that's kind of how it worked for us with them 20 years later, basically. But it's awesome because it's that age-old question is why? Why would you? Because, well, I don't know. Because we can.
Because why not? Yeah, it's fun, you know.
So fun. did you meet up with demo singers before parties, or was it just all online for you at first?
No, it was all online, and then we were like talking on like Discord and stuff until then. And then around, I can't remember when it was, February or March, when they hadn't announced the whole revision satellite thing. And they were like, oh yeah, we're going to have one in London. I was like, right, I've got no excuse now. Excellent. I have to go and see who these people who I've been talking to through a screen are.
It is that experience of finally being in are you Atomic Werewolf? And then it's all this kind of life. You have to be nice. And how was that experience?
That was brilliant. Even then I had people coming up to me and go like, oh, you did that demo with the sheep. And I was like, oh no.
It's a classic experience to do in a demo scene. You write something and then people remember it, and that's awesome.
Yeah, no doubt I was, of course, the youngest person there. I had people coming up to me and going, oh, you look young boy. How old are you? He was like 19. Like, oh, fuck, I feel old now.
So that's why we're not going to do that anymore, because that gets tedious. I mean, we get that out of the way. So if you're young, it's great that you're here, and I hope you're enjoying it. So does that feel weird? Okay, one more question about being young, and then we're just going to move on to the demo center. But did you feel like weird, like, oh my God, everybody's older, or was the vibe okay? Or
I didn't mind, really. I was like, as long as I can have people I can share this niche interest with, I didn't really matter.
Okay, that's good to know. Because it is when everybody always goes to that, like, even we do it, like, oh my God, like, and how did you find and why? But it's great to hear that it's somehow still people that are interested in these kind of like weirder aspects of development and of all computers then go like, oh, maybe this is the place to actually show some stuff.
Yeah.
When you met the satellite, the people there at the satellite, what was your main advice that you took home from there, or the main, I don't know, impression from when?
Probably the main impression I took from that is everybody they're the chillest people you've ever met, and they understand absolutely everything that you have to talk about them with. It's like, wow. It's like, who are these people I've never talked to before? But yeah.
It's a good endorsement to like, chill is good.
Yeah, it is though, it is.
Could be worse.
It wasn't. They were very happy to have me there, because they were like, oh, a young Cena. Like, don't see many of those often.
Yeah, and it's like new people, like excellent new people.
Yeah,
because it's like, it can be intimidating. We sometimes hear that, especially at Revision, which is, of course, in real life, it's a really big event. So we have a newbie table. Because it can be intimidating when you come and like you don't know that many people. So did you feel like, were you nervous when you went over, like, I'm going to meet these people? They might all be like really weird. They probably are, because...
I kind of was, because I was like, oh no, what if they think like, you know, whatever. But no, it turned out really well in the end. And I remember when I got there, I think they were more excited to see me than I was them, because I just got off a train for 7 hours and I was like, I just need to sit down, please. but yeah, I'm glad I went, though. Absolutely, yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, because I remember because I was watching the stream when the Revision satellite's intro was announced and the whole party thing. I was like, oh, this is cool. And then I forgot the meteorics were happening as well. And I was like, oh, yeah, this. I'm not really in touch with this, but I'll watch it anyway. And they went through the entries and they went New Talent, and there's like Pete Mailing for Cafe, Wyonos, and then Tobacco for Spit. I was like, hang on.
You didn't know?
I was like, that's me. I didn't know a single thing until then. I was like, why? What?
How did that feel like? How did you feel like, oh, I'm getting that credit? Like, the meteorics is still this thing where they try to, like, basically kind of wrap up, like, call out things through the year?
Yeah. I was surprised that, like, people nominated my crusty little demo, like, for it, because I was like, oh, it's like shapes moving around and whatever. But they were like, no, it's brilliant. Are you kidding?
I think you have to demo scene proper self-deprecation down as well, which we all kind of do, because nobody really likes talking about their stuff. It's always a kind of like, ah, yeah, it was just a thing I made. It's fine.
It's just a little thing I just put together.
And then we're all really, it's okay to be, I was like, it's okay to be excited, but I do get that vibe of like, what? I made this thing and you like it? Great. But did you appreciate it? It was like...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I was like, oh, finally something I did got noticed, kind of. It's like,
right. Were you surprised that actually others saw it? Or did you, I mean, you obviously knew that others, I mean, you were probably watching your comments and things like that. I mean, you must have heard that it got some...
I did look at a few comments and I was like, oh yeah, it seemed to do well. And I was like, oh, after the party, you got first people watching, then it kind of just dies off and it's like, yeah, well, on to the next one.
Okay.
But then people started sticking with it and then Meteoric, and I was like, oh, bloody hell.
That's like, great.
You know, the fiving the prop page on Puet to see if there's new comments. What I do every time I'm like in something. Need that validation.
Yes.
Did you meet other new seniors at the satellite party? Like, or new in like 2 or 3 years ago who joined the scene? Or
not really, I don't think. I think I was like the newbie there. But there were a couple people from like who do like game dev and things, and they like popped in to see what was going on and things like that. But
do you have friends like that are your age? Or do you think you're weird? Like, what are you doing with those? Obviously, are you managing like to get some people in, mate? Like that are interested.
I did. I think kind of because there was one person who came to Nova last weekend who was 18, even younger than I was, and they made their own sheep demo in TKE.
Excellent.
And it was, I think it won the wild compo because they sent me this. I was like, what, why have you done this? It's so cool. And they were like, oh my God.
Awesome. New blood. It sounds like I'm recruiting people into a cult. I am very aware of it. You had more friends we can bring into the current of the queue.
Yeah. I remember I did bring to the London satellite because it was so far away. I brought my friend along with me who did games dev stuff. I was like, oh, see if he'll be interested. But mainly just because I didn't want to be on the train for 7 hours on my own. but yeah, he seemed to enjoy it as well. So
okay, cool. That's nice to have. So maybe there's some interesting. It sounds like, I'm sorry, very creepy. Like, oh, see, I can't bring more people in. Like, we need more blood. Blood for the ancient gods. but it's cool to hear that it's still like, because we always feel like, as I said, like, we feel like our scene is dead and people aren't interested. And to hear that it actually finds its way and that you have these people that are going, like, oh, check this out. And it has some traction on the internet. Especially Nova was probably then, let's say, the first real demo party you went to.
How was that
experience for you?
That was absolutely amazing. It was absolutely incredible seeing all the... Because up until then, because I'd been to the satellite party and Field Effects, so I'd only seen a small chunk of the UK scene. And I went to Nova and it's like, oh, well, these people I've also talked to online. It's like, and then getting to see the other folks again, it was brilliant. Yeah.
I love that it's the same experience of us. Like, you go to a party and you meet all these people and like everybody's here. What were some highlights for you? Did you sleep in the hall, like that whole demo?
I did. Ye olde sleeping in sleeping bag under table.
Amazing. You're 20. You can still pull it off.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's what they were saying. They were like, yeah. Oh, my back. Like, oh, you don't need an air mattress, son. You'll be fine just under the table.
You have to do that once, like sleep on the floor and wake up and go, like, this was crap. it's a tried tradition. So what were some highlights for you from Nova? Did you bring entries?
I did. My entries did surprisingly well. I brought three entries. One of them was a thing for Wild, and it was an interactive teletext thing. So there was like different pages of like stuff about the party and different teletext art people have done. And I think the one with you twiddling your mustache or something.
Excellent. Oh, that picture for
the teletext. Yeah, so that was on there with a bunch of others. And then I also managed to hook it up to a page up to Discord. So then people would type in it and it would appear on the teletext thing.
Awesome.
That did. I think that got fourth out of, I think, 10 Wild entries. So that was pretty good. And then I was mostly working on an old school prod for the Dragon 32. Obscure UK Welsh microcomputer that I've just sort of taken a liking to because
a Welsh microcomputer called the Dragon.
Yes, I love it.
Perfect.
Yeah. It's perfect.
Go on.
I was like, oh, I have to make something for this. because I remember checking before, before Field Effects at EMF Camp, and there was one demo for it. I was like, right, I need to buy one and make a demo for it. I was like, this thing needs a scene. So I think I made like a little scroll. It was like a little scroller thing. And then a slideshow as well, because it had to be on tape. So side A was the demo and side B was the slideshow. So there was like this, I did this little video of just me flipping over the tape because I thought it was funny and everybody was like, yeah!
But for you, isn't that like all that tech? Like, were you even like familiar with cassettes, or is that something that was like...
Well, yeah, it's basically just we just have old stuff just lying around the house. Okay. So it's
I know people like, I'm going to stop talking now and let you continue. They sound very old.
But so I brought that along. It did reason. I think I got first at the Field Effects demo thing because it was a combined demo compo because we didn't expect to have that many people, and we still had a good, I think 10 or 15 people in the tent that we had there. And then there were quite a few entries from online as well. So that was reasonably good. And then that did well. So I was like, oh, I need to do like a sequel now. So literally like the week after I got back, I was like, right, I'm going to start working on the next one for Nova. I was like pulling out all the stuff. So big scrollers, voxel 3D rotating whatever effects and all this other stuff. And it went absolutely incredibly well. Got joint second with Hoffman, I think. So I think that's an achievement.
That's something you can like tick.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So that did pretty well. And then my third entry, which was music, that was poor. because I submitted it. It was like it was a MIDI composition thing. And that did insanely well. Because I remember after I submitted it, I'm probably not going to say it's supposed to say this, but Hoffman came up to me and was like, that MIDI entry is bloody good, mate.
If Hoffman says like, that's it, that is.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, Jesus, what have I done? And it sort of starts off as like it has like a 5 seconds of bait where it's like, oh, crusty MIDI, haha. And it has all these arpeggios and different automation things. And then at the end, it turns into like a GABA hardcore thing. And everybody was absolutely losing it at the end. It was incredible.
I listened to it, and it is in it because it's just all, it's standard, basically general MIDI, right?
Yeah, it's the standard GM sound set, just MIDI out, yeah.
And you basically broke it, so.
Yeah, people have been messaging me like, oh, I need to, like, I tried it on this MIDI player and it crashed. I'm like, I'm not surprised.
So it was really, you really basically made a dirty, like, did you use dirty tricks? Like, is that something that very demo scene is like?
Oh, there were a few tricks in it because I discovered you can get sort of like a PWM pulse width modulation sound, like how you have on a square wave, but by cycling through the woodwind instruments, because they all have like their own formity sound. So if I just automate through them and it sounds, I was like, so stuff like that. And
that's
then,
already,
but yeah, I remember I kept getting asked by people there. They were like, you need to do like a breakdown video on this.
Totally.
And like how you did all the little things you did. And then people kept asking me, they're like, how did you do the like GABA hardcore kick thing? And what people don't know about GM is that you have the normal sound set, but then you have banks on some instruments where you get a second instrument. So on like the synth one, there was like a clearer square wave. So I was basically writing it as if I would write chiptune in a tracker because I couldn't do it in Renoise because the MIDI's not great. So I think I used FL Studio, and then I was thinking, how would it do it in chiptune when you do a kick drum? And it does like a logarithmic down thing where you have more high notes and then more lower the lower you get. So I just plotted out in MIDI and it blew my socks off. I was like, I didn't realize I could make it sound like this. And I was like, I have to include this, and then had a whole section for it. And it was absolutely brilliant.
A stunning release. And I think, which is the one you're most proud of, or all of them equally, of course? Just roll your
probably
children.
That one. I know I spent like a whole month on the old school one, but that was just...
But it's so weird because we talk to you like for us a newbie scener, but you sound like a seasoned demo scener. And every time I have to think, I mean, he started into like 2018 with this. It's bizarre how everything you said just gels with what we do. Is like making an entry after you make one. Okay, I have to make another one for the next party, and pushing limits. And I'll break general MIDI for the music entry in a streaming compo because fuck them, they can play that. Like it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting to hear your story and your side, and it's very promising to see like this is still so alive in like. Mm. So sound like a dad, not like young people, but
is there a platform that you say, okay, that's one that I would imagine I have to do something one day for?
Yeah, absolutely. So at Nova, the winning old school demo was an Acorn Archimedes thing, and it had like proper 3D reflections and like an infinite zooming thing. Everybody lost it. It was incredible. And I was like, right, I need to break out mine and make something for this, because this is just, I need to get in on this action. But yeah, so I'm hoping to get something done on that this year, I hope. But we'll see.
And more Dragon 32 stuff there, because
more
that
Dragon
sounds,
stuff. Yeah.
Well, what is it? I'm still like, what is that similar to the Dragon? Is it?
It's quite similar to the Tandy Color Computer, like the American one. I think the one and two. It's basically the exact same, apart from just a few addresses have been changed. And it says Dragon on it.
It's a Welsh. Yeah. That just
yes,
made,
Welsh micro.
I hadn't realized yet, and it made my day.
I love how they called it that. Yeah,
it's that's fantastic. So more about, which it sounds like we want to talk about the newbie experience, but it sounds like you're already so integrated, like within like 2 years. It's insane.
It's amazing. It's because everybody's just been so welcoming and everything. It's just.
Yeah, so that experience was really nice for you. Like, you came in, and was it, do you think, because you were already like making stuff and had some knowledge of old computers, or?
Yeah, I think so. Because I did have a few people even then still, because I'd never even been to Nova and met half of them, but I still had some of them coming up to me going, oh, it's you who did the thing. You know, but
did you feel you had to prove yourself? And people were like, oh yeah, you're just fresh faced little kid. What are all the registers of the computer and in alphabetical order? Did that happen, or was it like quite chill?
Not really. It was quite chill, yeah. But
it'd be very lame if that happened. I don't expect that in the UK demo scene, to be honest.
The fine British are doing it.
The fine British.
Yeah, no, that's that something way, that it might happen when you come to revision, and then people are going to go, oh,
Germany
you're too back, aren't you?
Yes.
Are you really into old computers? Have you ever seen this one before? And then they pull out something super obsolete. Like, that happens, like, actually happens in revision. It's awesome as well. Are you planning to come to revision when it happens again, or like a bigger problem in general?
I really hope so, because I think my plan next year, if Outline's on, I will probably be going to Outline.
Oh, that's a fantastic party.
Yes, because so many of the UK scene are like, you've got to go to Outline. It's the most laid-back party. It's incredible.
It's very chill.
So I'm really hoping to go to Outline. And then if Revision's on, maybe Revision, but I'm not sure yet. So
it is. I mean, Revision is the experience. Like, it's absolutely like where basically everybody is at Revision, and then people can't make it, and we're all sad that they can't make it. But it's massive, and it can be super overwhelming, because it's literally like, I want to talk to you, but there's a bazillion people here, and I might not see you again for the rest of the weekend. Yeah. So I think it's really good you started with like the small satellite and the Nova, and then slowly build up to something parties, because it is definitely a thing.
Is there any type of advice that you would give to others who are starting to look into the scene, or how?
Probably just start get chatting to people online, because they'll sort of point you the way to go and stuff like that, and tell you about things.
So you found it a very welcoming experience in Discord and all that. So to point you to the right places and all that, or was it tough? No.
Not really.
The British, of course, are fine people who are welcoming everyone.
It's great. The UK scene is very like a closely knit like community, because there's not many. Because when you think about it, there's not that many people.
Very supportive.
I think at Nova there was like, I think this was apparently the quietest Nova we've had because of like Brexit and Corona and all that crap. But yeah, I think there was still about a good 30 to 40 of us there. And it's really like having a second family, kind of, because some of the UK scene, they can't like travel to like European parties or anything. So the UK parties are like the only chances they have to get to meet up with people again and submit stuff. But yeah, it is very nice.
Have you found any collaborations yet out of like from those parties, like partners who you can work with on certain types of topics, or are you still trying to do your own thing?
Yeah, kind of, because when I started to join the Slipstream, I was like, oh, finally, I don't have to do everything myself now. Because the first Dragon demo I did, everything was just me, music, code, graphics. And on this one that I released at Nova, there's like four or five people working on it now. It's like, it's like incredible that I've managed to get people interested in this weird little computer, but it's brilliant.
I was just wanting to ask, did you feel like losing a part of your creative control over what you're doing, or felt it like a relief to not having to control everything?
Yeah, it was more of a relief, because it's like, oh, I don't have to do everything myself now. And then people also have ideas that they pitch in as well.
Okay.
And it's like, oh, yes, we can do this. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's, it's not everyone is like you. It's, there are those other type of people who like to have the control over the whole type of
production. Yeah, yeah. So, there's not really one person that has like creative control of everything. Mm-hmm. Really, it's just like people throwing ideas in and things like that. And like, oh, I could make this for this. I'd be like, oh, that'd be nice.
And see where it leads to, right?
Yeah.
Great.
Mm. And have you done any collaborations with other demo scenes yet?
I did a music disc with the BitShifters before for the Beeb. But nothing much outside of Slipstream. Really, but oh, actually, tell a lie. Revision Wildcomp, I did a Tick 80 thing with PS. And we did the joint entry for Inertia and Field Effects.
That was fantastic. Exactly. That was such a fun entry.
Yeah, because I started making one for Field Effects and wasn't going anywhere. And then PS messaged me. He was like, oh, did you ever finish that? And I was like, no, not really. He's like, well, I haven't finished one. And I was like, what if we like make like this one of like whose party is better and start arguing over it with like different mascots? I was like, that sounds brilliant. I was like, we have to do that.
So both not being able to finish, because I mean, the concept was, and then it was an invite for both parties. Like, it was a wonderful concept. Absolutely. I really love that. And is that easy to work together in Tick 80 like that? Or you just...
we were really just sending the file back and forth like every night at like 3 a.m. It's like, right, I'm going to bed. It's yours now. Just kept sending it.
Oh, he destroyed everything.
No, damn it. No.
Okay.
No, it was good though, because if I made a mistake, it'd be fixed in the next one. I'd be like, oh, that's nice.
Working with somebody, it can happen.
But yeah, that was brilliant. Yeah.
How would you say the scene could reach out to more people like you, the youngsters out there? Is that something that is more of a personal interest in the technical aspects that like you have apparently, but or is it, are there other ways you would say that we could reach out to these people?
Well, what I think they're doing right now is pretty good because Field Effects, the whole... Oh, got a rep. Anyway, because the whole Field Effects thing, they...
He's wearing a T-shirt showing into the camera, so it's just so you guys know, listening to it.
Yeah, their whole mission is like to get young people into the scene, and they have like a young person's compo for like anyone 15 and below or something like that. And we had like 5 entries into it, so it's pretty good, so... And then they also do like a demo show like every Saturday on Twitch, and we get quite a few people tuning into that. It's really brilliant stuff what they've done.
Yeah, I love that now the Field of Fake streams every weekend, and it's just it's so nice.
We usually as soon as the current one finishes, and then someone goes, it's like, oh, can I do the next one? It's like, yep, sure, here you go.
Very keeping it alive. I like that.
Yes. Yeah,
it's but do you sometimes feel you were born like 20 years too late, because it's like everything feels like you should have been there like in the 90s?
No, I don't know, really. I don't know, it's just I just sort of stumbled upon it, really. So
happy you did, though.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Any other limits, like you already said, like so the, was it the Acorn, the computer you want to work on?
Yeah, the Archimedes.
But anything else you feel like, I need to touch that as well, or I need to work with that person, or I need to do this at one point?
I'm not really sure, because usually it's just if people just approach me or I approach them and go, oh, I have this idea, such and such. But yeah, actually, one person I would like to work with is Gasman on a sing-along demo at some point for the Dragon. Once I get sound working on that properly. I'd really like that to work properly.
I guess, man, if you're listening, this is easy. I think this should just happen. That sounds like a really good idea.
You said you write music as well. I mean, no, you didn't say so, but you do write music as well. Is there how do you balance your creativity between music and programming? Are there times when you work on music, or how does that work?
It's really just I'll work on something until I get sick of it, and then start working on something else, and then until I get sick of that, and then just keep swapping back and forth until it's done. That's pretty much it.
Okay. and you go back to it and say, okay, you're not happy with it, or you try to fix things, or particularly on the music side. I mean,
yeah, sometimes if it's music especially, I'll come back to it and go, oh, this was terrible, and I'll just like completely redo it or something. But if it's like a demo code or something, because if I'm well far into it and I've already written this, it's like, well, I can't really just get rid of half of it now.
Right.
But yeah. Mm.
What do you find easier? Writing music, writing code?
Probably music.
Why?
Because I use Renoise most of the time. It's so easy to just put stuff. Because you can set how many cells to skip, press escape, and just press the note how many times. It's like you filled the pattern.
Right.
And you just keep doing that and adding. And it's just, the workflow is just so much faster than if I was to use like a proper DAW, just using Renoise instead.
Yeah. Okay, can you confirm?
Always. I don't know how DOS work, and crying in Tracker is what I'm doing. This is also a goal for you, is to participate in Boost Drone.
Yes, I remember straight after I did the MIDI thing, and straight after it was shown, and I went outside and everybody was chilling outside. And somebody was like, you have to do something for Boost Drone. And I was like, I would have if I wasn't doing that. Because I was really hoping to submit something to Boost Drone, but then I started making that and it just...
Have you done Pro Tracker modules? Have you done 4-channel?
Not really. I haven't really done 4-channel mods and stuff. No, not really.
You make it sound so easy. Is it
fun challenge though? Yeah. You know,
these kinds of people annoy me. Like, it's just so easy. I just write a bit of music, write a bit of code, and then I do graphics in between. I don't know how many colors, and I just do a bit of. That's just so annoying.
In a good way, though. We had a similar thing with Ferris. Like when he just talks about, yeah, like, yeah, same just
thing.
Do it.
Same thing.
Easy.
Yeah, just do it, man.
And you do graphics as well? To what extent? Like pixeling as well?
Usually, my extent of graphics now is just like fonts and bitmap things. Because I try doing like proper full screen art, and I was like, this isn't going well. So I'm glad I found people in the demo group that can do art for me and go like, how is this? And I'm like, yes, shove it in.
That's nice.
Because if I do it, it's just programmer art. It looks not great. But yeah.
Yeah, you need to have something, right?
In order to work.
Yeah. It's where the groups came from. It was nice to have somebody that could, like, you can do that, great. Like,
yeah.
Look at old demos with, do you actually look at like older productions? Like, for older hardware, I guess, but do you like your deep dives into like what happened on the PC in like 1988?
Yeah, well, like, what do you mean green cannot work with pink?
Yeah, I do watch quite a lot of Amiga demos from like the 90s, like Hardwired and stuff like that, and go like, oh, that's cool. I wonder how I could do this. And like, oh, wait, I can't. But still, even watching it, it's still impressive to like see how could I cheese this.
Some of it was cheesed back then. And
you're winning instantly.
And who knows? You might. Do you want to do something for Amiga at one point as well? All the Atarians are not going to yell at me, so I'm not going to call it the computer, but it's a big one in the demo scene. Called Dash.
Yeah, I think the Amiga is a very steep slope at the moment because the difficulty curve is just, it's like, oh yeah, what's a bit plane and all this other stuff. It's
that's the next step. It's like the dragon is easier to get on because it's probably more limited and then you know what you get. Like
Any homage you can do on your platform from an Amiga platform, you will be an instant winner at any party anywhere. So that should be the plan.
And it is known there are people that mark you down for it as well. So it kind of balances out. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I think if it's an ode, is it like, or a nudge in like a more like winky, like respectful way instead of a pandering way, it usually is better. Again, here I am making everybody angry. How do you perceive that vibes at like online parties, like people yelling Amiga? Was it something you were like, what is happening? Or is it like,
yeah, at first I was like, why is everybody yelling Amiga? What is this? And then everybody was like, oh, it's just because it's, you know, it's the coolest computer in the world. I was like, oh, fair enough.
Very impactful, very impactful machine. Definitely, like, it is.
Yeah.
I just imagine it to be so weird, like not having, I don't know, experienced the Amiga or played games, or new games came out or demos came out, and they go, oh wow, that was so great, and it was so much better than other stuff at the same time. Or so, and now you just revisit the same era and you still need to find the same way of appreciation to it. It cannot be the same. Or can you relate to what it must have been back then like? Or
probably not really, because I mean, it's obviously changed a lot since then, but yeah.
This must be so strange for for people half my age, even less.
Is that something you feel like you've, is it,
No, we're not doing that again. But
I love this. This is great.
Does it feel for you sometimes that you're like, oh, there's a big history here. Like, did I miss something? Or are you like, I don't care. I'm just, because it sounds like you sound very familiar with it and very comfortable with everything that's happening. And as I said, like, you sound like a demo scene that's been active for like 2 decades, even though you've only been active for like 4 years. And is it that quickly that it gelled for you, or did you feel like, no, there is a history I kind of have to catch up on?
Yeah, that's what I was at first, because that's why I was only doing fantasy console stuff. And then I started doing like more research and I was like, oh, I see, like this, and you know, to get into it that way instead. Yeah.
But actually, you being young and we doing the whole nostalgia thing here, aren't you at some point like tired of, could you stop going back to the old times and all that? So, because you'd like to advance on new topics, new technologies and things like that. Is that something that you don't have? Because usually usually the young people are sick and tired of Amiga and all these things, you know, so... Are you like, you are too much loving the old times of or old platforms for being that young? Is that something that you think, I don't know, that you would like to explore more the newer platforms as well? Or is that something that you're completely fine with?
I don't really mind, really. Because it's nice to see a bunch of stuff that's like made for the Amiga or whatever like 2 years ago, and then compare it to whatever was made 20 years ago and see what's been done differently and that sort of thing. Because what is it? Cross development has become quite a large thing, I assume.
So basically your major interest is in what are others doing on the old platform at that time, and that is it, and if you can challenge it and if you can go beyond that. Okay, that's great. Okay. Are you awake?
Yeah, I'm pondering. I've been saying so much, but it's like I'm trying to find a question, because I said I found it. So like you're so adjusted, and it's like it's
this is weird. Way too
like
easy.
I said, do you have any tips for a newbie or this time? You just go to Poet or Demo Zoo, like just the Discord. It's easy. Know the right people. But I do feel like it's this kind of like you step into the scene and it's so comfortable to you, and you do well, like you make predictions people really like, I don't know really what to ask. I find it hard because it's just so, it sounds so good, like it's sure, like welcome, yeah, you clearly need to be here. Did that feel like that for you, that you joined, like this is what I missed, like this is something I definitely need to do?
Yeah definitely. It's like never where else would I find a bunch of people that have the same weird niche interests as I do in all these weird, strange platforms just showing off what they can do. It's like I found my place finally.
Are you nostalgic to like Windows XP? Is that something like, oh, make retro demos on Windows XP?
3D pinball, oh my goodness, no.
I mean, this is happening. Like the people are making it. XP is like, that's 20 years old. That counts as retro, I guess. Like DX9, like DX6.
Are you watching black and white movies as well? Or?
God, yeah, because it reminds me in the old, at Nova, there was a GameCube in the old school compo. And people going like, is this old school, is it? And they were like, oh, well, it's, I don't know, it's 20 years old and it's had more than less support and whatever.
Mid-school.
Yeah.
At one point, we don't know how to call it anymore because there's so many, and they get older. And then it's like,
yeah.
Because I think like a Windows like XP machine is from 2001. So it was 21 years old. So that is definitely would count as old school.
Mm.
I don't think you get away with it in an old school combo.
No, because some are like, oh, it needs to be 16-bit or less or something.
Yeah, Assembly struggled with it. I think they put Pentium machines and then they were like 486 machines in old school. And it's like, at what point do that cut off of PC? And do we consider the Amiga AGA mid-school? Because it's actually quite powerful. Like, I mean, an AGA 60 is like pretty much a Pentium, you said, like kind of making everybody angry.
So if we meet again at the PC 4K compo again at the revision, then we need to talk again, all right? What happened?
SPC development, like something more like actual PC development, like 4K or shaders or... Is that something you're interested in at all? I've had
quite a few people going like, oh, you should do Shaders. Go on. Shader Showdowns? Really do it. And then I'm watching Shader Showdowns and it's like, this is like Chinese to me. what a Vec 3 is, I've got no clue. And like all this other, especially Evil, he's been like, you need to start coding Shaders. It's like, no.
Like he's in the room.
Yeah.
Would be fun to hook you up with someone like Flopin or so. Just can you two talk?
I do kind of want to get PC demo stuff working,
right?
Something for later. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Okay. It's stepping up.
It probably wouldn't be anything mind blowing. It'd probably be like sprites moving around, all funny storytelling, whatever. But
doesn't matter.
It doesn't have to be. I made my first demo ever at Evoke. Released it.
I think I saw that one.
It doesn't have to be great. You just make something. No. You start with something. Yeah. Builds up like it's. It's fun to hear that it's interested. Like who knows? Maybe in a few years we'll see you in the Shady Showdown. But it is magic. Yeah. It is magic.
Because it was similar to the Shader Show. I've done a few TKE bite jams and stuff like that. I remember at EMF camp, because part of Field Effects. Well, EMF camp was like a huge hacker camp in the middle of a bunch of fields in the UK for like 4 or 5 days or something. And Field Effects, because that's where it started and why it's called Field Effects. It's in a tent in a field. And and there was an event there on stage A, like the biggest stage they have, where they did a bite jam and a Shader Showdown. And so I went up there on stage and there was like chairs for miles and they just started slowly filling up and I was like, oh no. And there was about about 500 to 600 people there. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, what have I got myself into? But it went really well in the end. It was me and Gasman doing bite jam in the end. We decided it was gonna be bite battle, but we had so many technical difficulties. Like 10 minutes before we get out, like my laptop completely died before, and I was like, "Oh no!" So I had to quickly borrow someone else's and then bring that up. And but it went amazingly well, though. I think probably one of the best bits of it was I'd change a few characters and it would change the graphic, and you'd hear about 300 people at once go, "Ooh!" Like a wave of people. I was like, my goodness.
I'm happy you got to experience that live.
An experience.
Yeah, because at Shader Showdowns, that's why they got so popular. And I think that the bite battles are such a good companion to it in another, because they both do awesome things to have at the same time. And having it live is that the whole crowd going, ooh.
Yeah.
And it is online, it's fun, but it just doesn't beat that.
Yeah, because you can't put it into perspective. Like on a Twitch stream, whatever, it's just a number in the corner. You're like, oh, how many people is that? And then when you're like there, you're like, oh, it's this many people. It's like, okay.
And having that control and also coding. And maybe it's good it was a jam in the end and not a battle, because you get that extra stress and it's fun to just go together and make cool stuff happen.
Yeah, that was definitely
awesome.
Yeah.
Great.
So now we'll definitely see you on a stage somewhere. I think maybe we do because I don't think we've ever done, like, except for that, and maybe not like an on party bite battle, like actual bite battles, because that all started in the pandemic as well. That all came from the side-scrolling community. So
I think that one at EMF was like the first proper in-person one, I think there was, or something.
I think they did one at May Contain Hackers as well. They had a little jam, but it was all way smaller scale. And talk to the lads that the next time we'll have a big proper demo party there as well, just like it needs to be. But awesome that you've already have so many in that short time and having a few demo parties, like quite some experiences. Yeah, I hope that you will make tons more and that we can see more stuff of you and then being nominated for more Meteorics. Like, this is
don't know about that one, but
well, it was the one with PS and your original concept. I can see that happen. Like, it was a good execution of that. So who knows? And is there anything else you want to give our listeners, like especially young new listeners that are might be like a little worried to go to a party or to participate? Any encouraging words you have for them?
Other than just do it, just go for it.
Yeah, great.
Once you're there, you'll find out who all these people are and how nice they are and how welcoming they are to have such new and young sceners there. Because the main organizer of Nova, who's RC55, he was very impressed there was as many young people there as there was there. So yeah, just go for it.
sound advice, go for it, because we need young people. We need more blood. Yes. Blood, yes, for the Asian gods.
And if you're old and you find the same interest in the same platforms, just go for it as well.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, just go for it. Just go for it. It's fantastic. Just make something. Just enter it. And it's indeed, I think, the welcoming. I'm so happy to hear that, because it always rumors around of like it's hard to get into. And it, I think it depends which party. But still, we always try to be welcoming.
And we'll keep an eye on you. For sure.
And we'll keep an eye on that. No, awesome, awesome. And I'm so happy to hear you had a great experience at Nova as well, and that your first demo party was what a first demo party should be, is like sleeping on the floor and being there all weekend and meeting people and having chats.
You need to go through that. So
yeah,
it's like the entrance ticket to that is like sleeping on the floor. So
it's like, this is the real experience now of my back absolutely killing at 4 a.m.
It's I once woke up sleeping on a sleeping bag on the floor, and a friend of mine was laying next to me, and I got up and he was like, oh, can I have your sleeping bag? And it was like, it was magic.
And he said,
you
know,
to go through that like experience of being absolutely like it is so. I'm sometimes I'm sad. I can no longer do it anymore. But it's such a profound part of your first demo party, of being in the hall and just having that massive, like, 3 day. Did you go for the full 3 days as well? Like,
yeah, it was the Friday, Saturday, Sunday for Nova.
So you're proper knackered as well.
EMF field effects more so. That was about. But then again, that was an event inside of an event.
Yeah.
But even then, still then, that was a good 5 days or something. It was,
It's for some reason, we always have to make these parties really long. And you sleep
in the underground hall. Conference goes on for a week or something.
Yeah, underground conference is a week. It's like they brought it back. Oh. Back in the day, there were demo parties that would go on, especially Scandinavian parties, for a full week. And I think underground conference does it well, is that they have like a few days chill and then a few days compose, and it's kind of like it's supposed to come camping with your friends. But having 7 days of full on party is like,
I couldn't do like
destroy me. Revision is 4 days of full on party.
Yeah, because
so
the revision satellite was enough.
How do you feel when you got back home? Did you feel like encouraged to go on or do something new, or how long did that last until you felt like, I don't know, everyone else is better than me and all that? Because that's the kind of things that...
Post-party blues.
I did get quite a bit of that.
Compost can be either like encouraging or depressing.
any parties you're eyeing already you want to go to? There's more parties happening. So is there... Except we got to talk about Outline, but is there more maybe sooner?
Yeah, definitely Outline and maybe Revision.
And not sooner in the going to Deadline or Trasak. Trasak would be a fantastic introduction. It's just absolutely mental party behavior.
Oh my goodness.
It's the last one as well. It will never happen after this.
Wow. That's Denmark, isn't it? God, that's a journey.
It used to be the party. It's like everybody got... Well, you would fit that, because everybody gets teenager drunk. They have a beer and snaps break, and it's free beer and snaps before the big compost, and it's so deadly. I've seen people crumble to pieces. I've been among them, and I might go this year, and I stopped drinking, so I'm looking forward to see it happen as a bystander this year. But no, Trasak is fantastic. The Danes always, like, it's a wild party, but every party has its merit. I hope you go to many more. Which one might be the first?
So did you feel encouraged mostly, or?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It is mostly encouraging now, because I've had quite a few other seniors be like, oh, you should come to these European parties and see this and do this and have the whole experience of, you know.
Everybody's different as well. Like, I mean, it's great to go. I mean, Outline is also camping with your friends, quite cozy, chill in organization. And then, I mean, I think Nova's a bit smaller, but it's very similar to like Jetstream, and Evoke is a bit bigger, but the same kind of vibe. Like, it's... But it's really fun to see the different... And also, certain seniors don't leave their country, so you get to meet everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
A bunch of Finns have that problem. You have to go to assembly or to Switzerland to meet Axel.
I'm working on mountain bikes.
That's something in February. Maybe mountain bikes is a good one in Switzerland. Yeah, assembly is also one if you're like... It is something you have to see, because it's such a weird party, because it's just a big gaming conference which has a big demo scene presence. And but yeah, the bucket list is long.
Yes.
No, it was wonderful to have you over. Thank you so much for giving us insights in your somehow already really profound demo scene life.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. It's been brilliant.
Thanks, man. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, no, thank you so much. And we're looking forward to see your stuff in the future. Absolutely. Please keep on going. Thank you so much. So that was a very good interview, very interesting perspective from somebody quite new, but also felt that he was been there since forever.
Really refreshing, actually, and quite surprising as well that, you know, being so down to earth and so like completely open, I think, not having any bad experiences with people in the scene. And I think it was just probably also the right time for him to completely dive into the demo scene when the pandemic started to happen, because he couldn't do anything else. So probably that even fueled his motivation to dive more into the demo scene.
Being able to make a prolific name for yourself because there's literally nothing else to do. But I'm very happy to hear that it didn't feel as weird or threatening, and it might be UK scene, I don't think so. But it's very cool to hear that it still feels, they can still feel at home for somebody new.
Yeah, and he has the right attitude, you know, just, you know, no matter what, just go for it. And he's not scared of any comments of whoever says anything about it. So I think just to move forward and to just do stuff, I think that's the spirit that I took away from this interview. Absolutely. Now. And I think that is probably the best lesson that we can, you know, give to anyone out there. Don't worry about what other people's going to say. Okay, right? Regarding like your demo, the compense from the demo.
Even I can make a demo and not be booed away from a demo party. But I think now it's awesome to hear that perspective, and I hope Tobak will stick around for a long time. He feels like an old soul. He feels like he's been in the demo scene since forever. Every time in the interview, I kept like having to correct myself, like, no, you've just been here for like 4 years. Like, what the hell?
We'll meet up at the pub somewhere in the UK. Yeah,
I hope you see more of him. And again, if you listen to this and you're not sure and you're new, just go make demos, find the right people, find the channels, find the discords, chat to people, find the streams. So I think that wraps it up for this episode. There's some parties coming up. So if you're listening to this and they haven't happened yet, go to Trasak, go to Nordlicht, to Deadline. All these parties are still happening this year. But yeah, so great parties. And maybe I'm kind of looking if I can go to one of these, and maybe I'll make a demo. Maybe design will be back.
Any plans for another cable?
I have an idea, but it might take a while. I actually have a plan this time. It's not like clowns and businessmen. So a bit more consistency.
That should be interesting.
Be design demo, as the insiders call it, design. So yeah, who knows?
So yeah, we'll keep nagging you about it.
It helps. It does help to finish something.
So it was thanks to us that you released the demo.
I didn't feel pressured at all. He lied. He felt super pressured to make a demo and did.
Actually, I didn't expect you to release that evoke already. So. To be honest, we're going to talk about it for a while.
It panned out. I'm happy enough. And that's enough about it. And let's see if there's more. I think the demo scene is fine for now. I think we don't have to worry. I think we have a lot going on. People are making fantastic releases. And we can just be happy that we can watch them together bit more in this day and age. So we'll see you in the next episode, which will be at a later date. Bear with us this year.
I thought you were going to say release date. No, the next show will be out on October 14th.
October the 12th of September. No, we're not going to say anything, but we will be back. We definitely will be back, even if there's a bit of a delay.
Before the end of the year.
Hopefully before the end of the year. So this show was hosted by Oki Axel and Ziphoid in Spirit, and produced and edited by Shana and Luguber. The show is made possible by Actside and Scenesat. If you can and want to support them with a donation, check out the links in the description. Thanks also to Scene.org and Bitfellas. Let us know your questions, suggestions, and feedback at zineradioshow@scene.org, our social media accounts in the show notes or Pooit, and please do it. If you have any questions for us, let us know. And if you like the show, please share it with your friends. You can find us on Scenesat, Spotify, and wherever you prefer to listen to your podcasts. And we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
And I'm going to end. Snip, snap.
So, you're going to end what?
The episode.
Oh, okay. Yeah.